For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated, everyone. Now, you've hit me at a low point because we've been having the diocesan synod here for the last 3 days. We've ordained 4 deacons on Thursday night. We had all the clergy and lay people. The lay people renewed their baptismal vows. The clergy renewed their vows before the bishops. We prayed for oils, 3 oils, oil for healing, oil for chrism. We use chrism in baptismal activity, priesthood of all believer activity, and oil of the catechumens. We call it that because it's really oil of exorcism, and we don't want to scare anybody. So we have been rolling. We've been doing lots of stuff. Now, you need to know that when we have synod, which is usually the first weekend in November, you're invited to come and see what's happening and stuff like that. So if you have spare time during that first week in November, please know that you're invited to come and participate in that. But so Bishop Frank has never had to work so hard in his life, okay? 3 days in a row. Can you imagine? I'm used to only working 1 day a week on Sunday, you know? Amen. Hallelujah. I hear that. I hear that out there. I hear that out there. So you might think I'm at a low ebb, okay? But the Spirit may catch on here in a second, because this is crucial stuff that we're hearing today. Today's verse, Luke chapter 19, verse 10, the last verse that was read by Deacon Sue in the gospel reading, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost," is the key verse for Luke. Luke has structured his entire gospel around that verse. Now, what's funny is in the lectionary, it kind of comes up on practically the last Sunday when we're reading from the Gospel of Luke, which is not always best, but hopefully our pastors have been hitting on this verse all throughout the year. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. It's very important to understand what Jesus is doing, because the people in Jericho don't understand what he's doing today. Luke's important chapter is chapter 15. Chapter 15. We've read from that at 2 times during the year. Once in Lent, when we read about the parable of the lost sons. For the Son of Man came to seek the lost, right? Seeking to save the lost. And then the parable about the lost coin and the lost sheep. Okay, so lost is crucial there in that chapter. And Jesus is showing how he is fulfilling the heart of God towards us, his creation, in coming to us and seeking us out. The question is, do we want to be found? The question is, when Jesus comes to us, will we say to him, okay, I will serve you, okay? I will repent of what I'm doing and turn to serve you. Some of us don't want to be found. We're happy living in the cave. We're happy living the way we've lived, but Jesus comes to transform our lives by the power of the Spirit. Amen? And so he doesn't want to leave you out of this, but he wants to hear the desire of your heart and measure that. So we see that in this story about Zacchaeus today. Now, you and I know this story. Even as Anglicans, we sang that good old Zacchaeus song. Amen. So we share that with the Baptists, which is okay. That's okay. They can sing that too. Now, in here, in Luke, though, and this is the beginning of a new chapter, chapter 19, Jesus has decided he's going to go up to Jerusalem. He is now in Jericho. He's moving through Jericho to go up to Jerusalem. And this is for the final hour. This is just previous to his teaching in Jerusalem and his sacrifice for us on the cross. Now, at one end of Jerusalem, as he's here in Jericho, at the one end of Jericho, which we don't read today, the end of chapter 18, there's a blind man. There's a blind man calling out. We can easily say he's oppressed because of his situation in life. And it's interesting because the crowd kind of oppresses him there. Now, you have to know that in the Middle East, when somebody important is coming to town, everybody lines the road to greet him, you know? Kind of like that Irish movie where the bishop comes to town. And the Romans, who love the Anglicans in that town, they all go out, and the Roman priest says, "Okay, now go out and yell like Protestants." They've lined the town. Jesus is coming. And in fact, when somebody important comes to town, it's usually the occasion to have a party. Amen. Party? You into parties? I am. Feasting is great. You kill the fatted calf, and people also pull out their stash of chocolate as well, right? Because it wouldn't be a feast without chocolate. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Oh, good, you're still here. So they are lining the road and welcoming Jesus. Now, interesting, so there's this little blind guy over by the side of the road, and he's yelling, son of David, have mercy on me. And so the crowd is, you know, kind of, okay, now be quiet now, okay? Don't look over here. Yay, Jesus. Okay. So the crowd in this situation acts as an oppressor as well, okay? Kind of understandable. They want to clean up the town. They don't want to show that there's any crime going on here or anything like that. And everything's fine in Jericho. And Jesus hears that plea. He is spiritually oriented specifically to hear that stuff. That's the heart of God in him. He hears that plea. And what's interesting, he asks the crowd who's been hiding him to go and get him and bring him to me. Okay? So Jesus recognizes the plea, then recognizes the person. And so the crowd who's been hiding this guy has to escort him to Jesus. And Jesus asks him, what do you really want? What do you want? So he tests him. You know, to be a beggar in the Middle East is to be a part of the community in the sense that people get to show their love and kindness towards you. And so the tendency is, oh, well, we need a beggar or two so we can flip the widow's mite over to them now and then. Okay. And so we can show that we love the Lord and that we take care of the widows and the orphans and the beggars and all that stuff that we read about in Isaiah chapter 1 today, where the Lord is saying, you know, just don't do all this frou-frou stuff. show me the beef. If you love God, show forth God's love to other people. Okay? Just don't turn it on Sunday when we can put on our fancy clothes and all. Well, but that's good. But just don't turn it on Sunday. We've got six other days of the week when we can show forth the love of God and his transforming power in our life. Amen? So interestingly, the Lord at the one end of Jericho recognizes this person and elevates him. Yes, the beggar wants to be healed, and so Jesus heals him of his blindness at that point. Now, it's interesting. Mark frames his passion between the blind beggar calling out, "Son of David," and the centurion at the end recognizing what's happened on Calvary and saying, "Son of God." Okay? So Mark doesn't include Zacchaeus in his story. Okay? Our gospel writers are free to develop their gospel in a way that they feel will make clear to people what is happening in the Lord Jesus' life. Mark's key gospel, Mark 10:45, "For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Okay, so that's Mark. Here we have Luke, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." So Jesus is moving through Jericho. So the question I had as I was reading this scripture, so does Jesus know what's going to happen on the other side or not? Or is he just with a focused purpose moving through Jericho saying, "Hey, I don't have time to feast right now. I'm on my way to Jerusalem for a very important activity that the Lord is pushing me toward." So, however, what's interesting on the other side of Jericho is Jesus meets an oppressor, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus has heard as well that Jesus is coming. He decides to run ahead of the crowd, which is very unusual for a rich man to do. For him to run, he would have to lift up his alb and skirts and, you know, run as fast as he could. And then he climbs a tree. This is not done. However, a sycamore tree has low branches, which helps you get up easily. And it has big leaves, so it hides you from the people. Zacchaeus is a tax collector. He is an agent of the Roman state. He also can put his finger on the weights and get as much as he needs from the local people and take that for himself. Zacchaeus, the text says, is a rich man. He's rich on the local population. So you can understand why Zacchaeus is not going to stand in front of the welcoming crowds, because he could be dispatched with fairly quickly. And he runs the other side of town, out of town. They planted trees outside of town. They didn't want any trees inside of town. I'm not sure why that is. But trees are can circle the town, but not be in the town. So he's out there waiting for Jesus to pass by. And I would imagine some people see him. Now, he is supporting the government. He's a sinner. He is oppressing the people of Jericho. The people of Jericho do not like Zacchaeus. He's a rat. He's seditionous. He's treasonous. He is supporting the Romans over the Jews. Jesus, however, sees him and calls out his name. Probably in the midst of people have seen Zacchaeus and they're calling out his name as well, but not in a nice way. I remember that time you charged me 10 extra badigilagis, you know, something like that. Jesus sees him and calls his name and says, Zacchaeus, you must come down. I'm going to your house today. What is Jesus doing? What's he doing? He's supporting the Romans. Why does he like this guy? What's he going to do? Why is he going to go to his house? We offered him a feast. Maybe we held back a little bit too much chocolate, undetermined by the text. Why is Jesus going to do this? He's a prophet. He should know better. He's calling this tax collector and going to his house, and he's probably going to stay at his house. Everything in his house is unclean. The seats are unclean. The resting benches are unclean. Everything's unclean. Why would Jesus be doing this? And Jesus is doing this not because he supports tax collection against the people of Israel. But Jesus can discern Zacchaeus' desire to serve him. And so Jesus takes on himself the anger of the crowd at that point by recognizing Zacchaeus, by bringing him alongside, and by going to his house. Jesus takes on that anger. Jesus takes on that pain, and it is real. And is able to deflect at that point from Zacchaeus. What are they to say? So Jesus has chosen to have a feast with a tax collector rather than the good people of Jericho. Well, you can tell that that didn't win Jesus a whole lot of votes at this point. But Jesus, in his graciousness, pouring out the Lord's graciousness, calls Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, you must come down. I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they grumbled. You know why? You know why? He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. But Zacchaeus stands and says to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." Now, this speech is a Middle Eastern speech, and so it's an exaggerated speech. It kind of sounds like one of our politicians. What Zacchaeus is saying is probably impossible at that point to make happen. But the issue is there, he having received the graciousness of the Lord, is ready to stop doing bad things that he's been doing and restore what he can and be a person of graciousness in Jericho from that point forward. Amen? Okay, so the Lord's compassion and mercy and his graciousness becomes multiplied in the person of Zacchaeus. Now, the people also know, well, that's a good start, they're probably saying to themselves. That's a good start. Because they've kept a list, okay, of the times they've been gouged by Zacchaeus. But the issue is the graciousness and love that Jesus puts out on Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is now able to turn around and share with others. And we're in the same position, are we not? The Lord Jesus has shown us in our difficulties and problems and in our sin, and he has shared his graciousness with us as he will share his body and blood with us this morning to encourage us, to strengthen us. This is grace flowing from the throne of God to each of us. Amen. And so our position needs to be, we need to joyfully receive him. Praise God, you found me. Okay. Receive his graciousness, which only he can give. Only he can give us righteousness. Only he can give us salvation. Amen? Yes. Amen? Yes. Okay, I'm checking to see if you're awake. Because that's the flow. That's the flow. Jesus is taking on the anger of the crowd, recognizing Zacchaeus, putting him in a new status, a friend of Jesus. I mean, my goodness, this is radical. What is Jesus doing? Well, Jesus is extra, super gracious towards Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus responds. And that needs to be our response. The graciousness that we receive from the Lord, we need to show to other people. Amen? Because we now have the transforming power of the Spirit in our life. Amen? That needs to be, we need to be looking out for others. We need to repent of old habits, be transformed by the Spirit, and bestow grace on people. If anger and trouble come our way, we need to receive that and pray through that and bestow grace. Now, so this is a little secret of what's going to happen in Jesus' life as he gets to Jerusalem, right? I mean, what we see here is the preliminary activity of what's going to happen as he receives sin and oppression in his body and doesn't react in a hateful way, but is able to transform that with the love of God. Now, Jesus is not supporting tax collectors. Thank goodness. Amen. All right. So we get the bill and we say, oh man, what was the tax collector thinking about there? He's not supporting tax collectors in this sense. He is supporting the individual Zacchaeus who can live for God if he repents and follows Jesus. Jesus has been talking a long time about how our wealth gets in the way of stuff. It keeps us away from the Lord because we put our trust in the wealth and not in the Lord. And we put our trust in the things we have and not in the Lord. And those things can't save us. You have brought nothing into this world. You can take nothing out. So use your wealth for God. God bestows blessings on you. Share that with others. Amen. And so then Jesus says to Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to this home. Salvation is not just an instantaneous thing, but it is worked in our life so that we can show this. We know Jesus. We love Jesus. So we can be graceful. We can be loving. We can be sharing. We can multiply what God has done in our life to other people, and people will say, how can you do this? Why do you do this? Let me share with you because Jesus loves me. Amen? This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Salvation has come to this house since he is also a son of Abraham. Well, now, so Abraham believed, but didn't know what the Lord was going to do. Abraham believed, but didn't know how that would finish out. Zacchaeus today believes, but he's also trusting in the Lord for his life, where the Lord will lead, what will happen. Why all this? For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Thank goodness he has sought us out. We have responded to him, and we are continuing to respond in our lives to others. Praise the Lord. Salvation has come to this house. We, as well, are children of Abraham. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.